Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
I want to share just one quick scripture here in the next 17 minutes, and we're going to pray and we're going to believe God's going to do something, but it's Proverbs 29, verses 18, and here's what it says. Where there is no vision, the people, where there is no vision, do you rewrite this? Where you don't have a vision, you'll begin to perish. So if you don't have a vision for your marriage will begin to perish. If you have a vision for how you're going to parent your kids, if you have a vision for your life, your business, your home, the direction that God's going, that part of your life will begin to perish. I mean, you know, vision is important. Vision moves us forward, but I think it's so much bigger than that. I think vision connects us to something greater than ourselves. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. This simple title, this simple idea, bigger than me. I need to be a part of something that's bigger than me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you're going to speak to people. You're going to challenge people. God, I pray that today people would live here with a new thought. Lord God, a new idea, a new inspiration in their soul, in their spirit, Lord God, to walk out the vision that you've had for them, Lord God. God, I pray if there's people a little comfortable in here today, God, I pray you'd help us get a little uncomfortable. God, if there's people that feel stuck or complacent or in a point of indecision, God, I pray you'd speak clarity to people, that you would fill your church with faith and boldness, knowing that the best is yet to come. Lord, we love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, can we give Jesus a big round of applause this morning? By show, how many of you like to go grocery shopping? Like you actually enjoy the process of grocery shopping. I don't really like going grocery shopping. It's not my favorite thing. And here's one of the main reasons why. I have a tendency to go grocery shopping when I'm hungry. Anybody else out there? Like, you've got 16 boxes of Lego My Ego in your car. You don't know how they got there, but you saw them, and you were hungry, and they felt good. And I think the worst part about shopping when you're hungry, for me at least, is the perishable section. Because the perishable section has an aroma to it. At Hy-Vee, the Chinese market kills me every single time. I'm in there, I'm hungry, I'm buying fruit that I never ate in my life just because it looks good, you know? This is sweet smell. I think they do it to us on purpose, you know? But one of the things that always is also irritating to me is when we go shopping and then life is busy or we ate out a few more times than we thought we were going to. And by the time like a couple weeks have went by, how many of you know you go to the refrigerator and you open it up and those apples that look so good, they now got a little bad, and you got to start throwing some stuff away. That lettuce, I think they do something to the lettuce. Okay, no lettuce should last a day. You know what I mean? Like, we got to get some improvement there. But the perishables, they're perishable, and then you end up taking them and throwing them away. And I got to thinking about perishable items. Just think about what is perishable in a grocery store, like an apple. An apple was something that was once connected to a life source greater than itself. Just think about it. The apple was a part of a tree. The tree is a part of the soil. Like there's this connecting to something greater than you. And as soon as you pull that apple off the tree, how many of you know it started a time clock where that thing is now beginning to perish? You know what I found in my life is that vision is the great connector to God in my life. The minute that I detach from vision, the minute that I detach from faith, I begin a time clock in my life where things just begin to perish a little bit in our lives. That's what the book of Proverbs is saying. Where there is no vision, people perish. Where there is a disconnect from the God thing in our life begins to wither away. You know what I found in my life is that God doesn't want us to live a life that's kind of disconnected. You know what I think sometimes we do? I think we think having a vibrant, robust relationship with God is having a prayer life for 20 minutes a day and reading the Bible every once in a while. I think we've taken this vibrant, expansive, revival, resurrected life that we worship a king that rescued us, and we've minimalized it to a few conversations a day and a little bit of education in our head about what the Bible says. I just think this, man. I think at any given point when Jesus was on the cross, he was like, Father, not my will, but your will be done. If you can just give me some people who pray like 15 minutes a day, and read like the Bible. It's not written completely yet, but we'll get there. Like, we just, if you could, we got a couple hundred years yet before that's going to be there. But God, they'll make it till they get there. I don't think that was the vision Jesus had when he was suffering for you and me. I think he had a vision of a death being conquered and a grave being overcome and a people who would understand what it meant to walk in a resurrected life. And I just think this, man, that vision is the great connector. Vision will fuel your prayer life. Vision will get you to dig in and find solutions that normally you would never know. You know what I found in my life is God's gonna make sure I have faith. He's gonna make sure I'm believing for something. Because Jesus said it like this, I wish that you were hot or you were cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of your mouth, which means everything of God's initiative in your life is driving you to be in one of those two categories. He's pushing you. You know what? I found people who have faith because they're cold. You know what their faith is? Oh, God, help. Help, I keep on making that decision. I've dated the same guy four different times. Different name, different face, same guy. Help, God, help. And now all of a sudden God's like, well, okay, I guess they're believing for something. I mean, you know, and we live from rescue to rescue. I don't want to live my life letting the narrative of my faith journey be like, God, I'm an idiot again. I want to believe for something more. If I'm going to have to exercise my faith, I don't want it to be because I'm barely getting by. I want it to be because I'm believing for something greater than myself. Come on, if you believe that today, give me a good amen. Here's the thing. Vision, it's a non-perishable item because it must stay connected to something greater than itself. A real vision, a God vision, will only stay vibrant and alive in our life if it's connected to a source greater than ourselves. And God wants you to be vision creators in this room. Sometimes I think we think God is just going to give us this, like, you know, today, wake up and put on the, not those jeans, those ones. And then, not that radio station. That's not good. Do this radio station. And then, he just lets you know there's a backup on Dodge. Turn right on 90th. Like, we think, like, if God's not gonna operate with us like that in our everyday life, what makes us think that he operates like that with that level of control and that level of detail in our big picture life? See, what I think God is looking for is some people that realize that he is a good and faithful God, that he has a mission on planet Earth, and they know how to partner with God in getting a vision and taking that vision and attaching it to something greater than themselves. I think most of the time we're waiting for God to give us a vision, and God's waiting on us to get moving. God's saying, I can't steer a ship tied to a harbor. It can't set sail. You sometimes got to set out into the unknown and get some wind or the Holy Spirit in your sails. And in that journey, he begins to teach you what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. See, I think there's some things that vision does in our life. I think there's some things that vision, you, is so important that you understand, like, what vision does. And the first one is vision creates. Vision creates. On your seat is this piece of paper that I put, and it's really to give you a little bit of an exercise today. You can do it right now while I'm preaching. But it says, my creation, my restoration, his mission. And throughout this, I want to kind of doodle on this and kind of put some ideas down. I want you to take it home, and I want you to lean in and begin to pray. God, what are you calling me to? What's the vision? What's the thing that I should be doing? But the reality is that vision creates things. If you don't believe me, just look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. This is the first verses of the Bible. In the beginning, God created, and you are made in the image of God. So if I'm made in God's image, he has made me a creative being. In the beginning, God created. He created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Say darkness. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. You know, it's so inspiring to know that we serve a creative God, that he is a creator. And when he moves in my life in vision, he is going to move in my life in vision through creation. He's going to birth things through me. He's going to share vision and dreams to create things. You know what the other interesting thing about this passage of scripture is? Is that God is trying to illustrate to us how vision and creating things work. Notice that God didn't create with what he saw. See, the Bible says God created out of darkness. See, God's trying to get you to understand. If you want to know what vision is, if you want to know how to walk in what I have for you, you can't create from what you see. See, light, our eyes, our human eyes, have to have light in order to see. Could it be that some of the greatest vision God wants to birth in your life came out of some of the greatest seasons of darkness in your life? Could it be that some of the things that God has deposited in your life haven't been when everything was going well and everything seemed awesome and hunky-dory? And that's what people get in relationships, man. It just cracks me up. They're like, oh, man, if we were in love, there would be no problems. I'm like, actually, the reason God brought you so-and-so is so that in the difficult thing, God could birth a new thing, and it's called a new vision for not just who you are, but the direction you want to take your life. Listen, the greatest things that produce vision in your life come from some of the darkest seasons in our life. That God created out of the darkness. Why? Because he saw something different inside of himself. That in the middle of darkness, that we can look not with our actual eyes, but our spiritual eyes. I think Jesus said it like this over and over again. For those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And for those that have eyes to see, let them see. What was he talking about? Was he think everybody was blind? No, what was he saying? He's saying, hey, listen, what really creates life has nothing to do with what you see, hear. It has to do with what you carry. Here. We carry God with us. So here's my question to you today. What is something in 2019? This might be some of your first time ever having this thought go through your head. It's a next level thought. It's a God thought. What could you create in 2019? What could you create in 2019? Rather than living our lives based on what somebody else has created? I spent half of my life on that dumb iPhone. So frustrating. Somebody had an idea and created something that now I'm doing my life in. I believe this. Some of us may not have an iPhone idea, but there are ideas in this place. There's vision in this place. There's creativity in this place. You know what our job in creativity is? It's to look at God's creation. That's why I believe this, that all real vision and all real faith starts with the spirit of worship. That when we put God in his place, you are marvelous, you are wonderful, you are holy, you made her of the heavens and the earth. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God, I know you got all that I need. We begin to see connections between this thing and this thing. We that's what creation is, for us as humans at least, because most of us aren't going to speak in, brand new house. But no, nope, didn't work. But you know what? We can say, hey, brand new house. Oh, I saw this idea and this idea. And I realized that these two ideas can come together to start a business, to start a new thought, to start a new pathway in my life. That's the creative vision of God in your life. I believe God wants you to create something this year. Maybe some of you are scared to write something down. Just go there. Just go there. How about this? How about vision doesn't just create? Vision also restores. That some of the greatest visions, some of the visions that we are most inspired by on planet Earth, just think about it for a moment. Mother Teresa, one of the great visionaries, one of the great people that we would look at and go, wow, what a vision. What a vision. It's inspiring. Started because she saw something that was broken and said, I'll restore it. See, God is always working with us in these two areas. What are we going to create with our life, and what are we going to restore with our life? Ezekiel chapter 37 says this. It says, and the hand of the Lord was on me. This is Ezekiel talking. He's caught up in a vision. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the midst of a valley. So God's putting him right in the middle of the thing that he's called to restore. Could it be, I'm just going to pause here. Could it be that you are exactly where you're supposed to be at exactly the right time with exactly the right people? Do we have ears and eyes? Ears and eyes to see the God thing. Sets him in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth amongst them, and I saw many great bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? What a question. Sometimes I'm like, why is he asking that? Why? He's trying to get Ezekiel to see the God vision for a restoration vision. He's trying to say, hey, you see all these? I'm not just into walking around amongst dead bones. God, listen, God doesn't have you in your job just to frustrate you. God doesn't have you around those people that just are annoying and that bother. He doesn't have you there just to be like, oh, man, all these old bones everywhere. Somebody clean these up. You know, these bones are, you know, stinking up the place. God's walking you through old bones. He's got a question for you. Can these live? Can you bring restoration? Can you bring the life of God into your workplace? Can you bring the life of God in your family? Can these things be restored? I love Ezekiel goes on and he goes, Lord, yes, they can. Isn't it interesting? I wonder if God was like, well, I don't know if they can. Like, Ezekiel, I don't know. I mean, I really need some advice here. There's a lot of messed up stuff, and there's a lot of problems, and there's a lot of people with marriage problems, and there's a lot of things going on. I just don't know if these things can live. I don't know. No! God knows exactly what he wants to do. God knows exactly that they can live. He needed somebody to see what he saw and to believe what he believed. He's asking questions of you, not looking for advice. He's looking and asking questions because he needs agreement. He's going, can these things be restored? So what's some things that this year, 2019, you can restore? For some of you, that's your marriage. For some of you, it's a cause in our city. It's my prayer life. But, you know, what needs to be restored in your life could be one of the greatest feeders of the God vision in your life. But finally, real vision, God vision. Vision, a God vision honors God's mission. So what I think, this is kind of how God works. God has a big enough world and a big enough vision and a mission to let you carve out a vision for your life. But the non-negotiable for God is his mission. It's not like, oh, they got a different idea. I guess we'll give up on the whole like redemption of humanity thing. No, God is looking for some people that will get a vision for their life and they'll understand that my vision is under God's mission. So I'm going to take what I create and what I restore and what I earn and what I work for and the passion of my heart, and I'm going to connect it to something greater than myself. See, here's what I need you to understand. Nurses in this room, you are not a nurse. You are an ambassador of Christ in that hospital to families going through a dark season, to speak life, to pray healing, to carry God's kingdom in planet Earth. Business leader in here. Like, you know why God wants you to crush your business? It's not so you can have more stuff and nice things. It's because God wants to prosper you so that what? You can what? Take your purpose and attach it to God's mission. I'll fund that thing. I'll give generously to that thing. I'm trying to get people to understand that, simply put, getting a vision from God is taking your life and attaching it to God's mission and believing for more, believing for God to use you in greater ways. So, your vision for your life. Maybe you have a, I was talking to somebody our last service there. I got a vision to be a doctor. I said, that's awesome. That's awesome. How can you take that and attach it to God's mission? Jesus said it like this, if you're looking for what God's mission is. Jesus gave us one final commandment from generation to generation as he ascended into heaven. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all that I've commanded you. And here's the beautiful promise. He will be with us even to the very end of the ages. What is God saying? Hey, you get a vision, you attach it to my mission, and you know what? You're gonna find yourself being connected to something greater than yourself. You're gonna find God walking with you and being a part of your everyday, ordinary life. God wants to build a vision into your life. Jesus said a couple things. He said, I came to seek and save the lost, and I came to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If I can take my everyday life and attach it to that mission, you know what? I can begin to dream bigger. I can begin to dream for more. I can begin, because I realize the reason I'm dreaming, the reason I'm believing is not self-serving. It's because I want my life to reflect God, and I want people to see the God vision alive in my life. I just believe that today. So maybe as you're writing, I want you to take that home. I want you to take a moment. I want you to write in there some vision things, some restoration things. I want you to begin to put some prayer. God, help me connect some of these things. Connect some of these dots. What I can restore might turn into what I can create. What I can heal, what? How can I attach this to God's mission? Because I believe this, God wants to raise up an army of visionary leaders who see the future and say, you know what, with God's help, we can create and we can restore and we can make this world a better place for humanity. Because why? Because God is alive on the inside of us. I think Christians ought to be the biggest dreamers. It's really unfortunate, because I think what's happened because of this really dead religion is Christians have kind of looked at, you know, a lot of things like, you know, well, God doesn't want us to have anything. God just wants, you know, God doesn't, all these big dreams, that's really prideful. Baloney. Baloney. Because you know what? I want my life, not just my 15 minutes in the morning and my Bible reading, to reflect that God is alive on the inside of me. That I'm not living by my strength, I'm living by his. I want to live a life full of vision. Why don't you stand to your feet? And this morning, I'm going to pray over people in this room that, can I pray a bold prayer over you this morning? I'm going to pray that God would help the comfortable become uncomfortable. That God would stir vision in your life. That God would stir a vision to make a difference, to create something, to restore something, to further his mission. And that God would also match that with faith, courage, and just a great sense, God's in this. God's in this. One of my favorite passages of scripture in all the Bible is it's in the Old Testament. I believe it's Joshua. Joshua says, Lord, we're not going up unless you go with us. And I just think that there's some people in this room that you've got some dreams and you've got some potential vision, but you're not sure if God's with you. And if you had a confidence that God was with you, you'd take some bold action. And I'm gonna pray over you right now that sense of awareness in your dreams and your mindset and your thoughts and your vision, that God would fill those things with boldness and confidence. For God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Father God, I thank you today.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.